Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey sports station.
Brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Pay no interest and make no payments for an entire year during their Beat the Heat savings event.
Playing around 500 ball before the trade deadline to maybe entice the organization to make moves at the trade deadline, which is just 2 days away. Do you feel like the club there, you guys are 4-6 since the All-Star break. Do you feel like you've done enough and warranted enough for them to do something significant in the next couple of days to improve your ball club?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but, you know, the season ends today, and that's not the case. We got Garrett Crochet in game one in the wild card series, right? So are we perfect? We're not. Are we a good baseball team? We are.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Translation, go get Joe Ryan.
Yep.
That's what I heard Alex Cora say.
He didn't shoot you down. He didn't say no.
Nope. He actually chuckled as we went off the air, and he said nothing. But
I felt like he wanted to say, you and me both, yeah. Andrew.
You know what? And that's what I appreciate about Alex. I mean, if you listen to him long enough, he strongly wants them to do something.
Yes.
Without having to say it strongly. He gives you enough hints and clues along the way. You're like, this guy would be really upset if they did not do something to improve the team.
You got to speak Cora, but he'll lay out the map for you. Yes. You just got to follow it.
And not just does he want them to do something, he thinks they deserve to have something done. Like they should do something.
Yep.
Now, my only question is, do you take him at his word when he's like, Thursday's an off day, you know, it'll be a busy day for some people, and talking to Breslow and does he trust Breslow? Are they on the same page so that, let's just say Breslow comes back and goes, all I could get you was this middle reliever. The price was too high on this guy. We couldn't go there. Does he trust that? Do you believe their relationship has reached the point where there is full trust that if Breslow doesn't hit a home run, doesn't come back with, you know, a closer, an elite reliever, and Yadni Diaz, like one big name player, is Alex going to be like, okay, I understand it. I think you tried your best.
I would guess that it's building. I don't think there's complete trust by any stretch of the imagination. I think there's been a lot of evidence of them not being on the same page, but I would wonder if the urgency of the offseason, or maybe not even the urgency of the offseason, but the urgency of the Devers trade and the ripple effect that it seems to have had on the clubhouse and the overall, you know, morale and the team chemistry and all those other superlatives. I would wonder if that whole process has changed Alex Cora's view on Craig Breslow just a bit. And the other side of that, Ted, is that he doesn't really have a choice. He has to trust that Craig Breslow is going to continue that level of urgency into the trade deadline. So I'm not sure if he's there, but he's got one choice in this, and that is to trust him.
And I think just like you laid out there, Dan, I think there's evidence to suggest that I think he probably does trust him because of, look, you know, I think he was the one that was putting the flag down to go get Alex Bregman. They went and got Alex Bregman, right? Maybe, I don't know about Crochet, but my guess is he was very, very happy with what they did at the before the season started. And, you know, and Breslow was able to, my guess was, even though we felt like Cora was on Rafi's side, Devers' side during that whole thing, it almost felt like he was relieved when the trade was happened. So my guess is he signed off on that and was happy about it. So my feeling is they're probably a good relationship between the two. But we'll see in a couple days. I have seen Alex react in a way when they have been sitting on their hands for trade deadlines and not doing something, and him not being happy about it and letting that out. And maybe not with Breslow, maybe with the old regime. But I feel like Alex really believes in this team this year, and I really feel like he thinks they got something, and that doing something at the trade deadline could be huge to kind of get this thing going. And so I feel like he's expecting them to do something.
Same. And I think part of that is everything they've said. We've talked a lot about it, whether it's Craig Breslow on our station or Nesson, whether it's Sam Kennedy on our station or Nesson. They've kind of painted themselves into a verbal corner about what they're going to do and urgency and needs and go get, and not just get a pitcher to say we got a pitcher, but get a pitcher that we can pencil in behind Crochet in the rotation. And I believe all that. But there's almost like that Yoda philosophy. Okay, do or do not. I don't want to hear try. Like,
yeah.
And some of that is historic. Some of that's not this regime. But people are sick of hearing the interest kings. Oh, we tried. And I said it to you yesterday. We talked to Tim Healy from the Boston Globe.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, if nobody moves, maybe that just tells you the market. Like, they weren't the only team. No. I've seen the updated prospect lists and all this crap. If nobody moves, then increase your bid. Every $1 million man theory, everybody's got a price. If they say we want another, totally, you don't want to trade him, you don't want to. But if that's what it takes to get Joe Ryan and to have Crochet and Ryan back to back in that series that Alex Cora just talked about, then do what you need to do to get those guys back to back.
Feels that way though. I don't, because he basically said, look, there's a lot of other teams. There's, you know, he basically said that it's hard to make some deals at this time of year. So I almost felt like he was giving them an out as well. Like,
no outs.
I'm just telling you, I don't know if it would destroy the relationship if they end up doing nothing. But I think he would be a little bit irked if they don't.
Do we think they like each other? Because I've actually heard a lot of people suggest to me lately. Friends, people down at Patriots
camp. Cora and Breslow?
Like, Cora still doesn't like Breslow. He's annoyed by him. He doesn't respect him. And this isn't me. This is literally fans and media people telling me what they observe from afar. And I don't get that. I think, like what you said, Ted, it's more like the relationship is growing and evolving in a positive direction.
Well, there was an incident. I feel like they changed kind of how their pitching philosophy. And I feel like what Andrew Bailey was a Breslow guy, right?
Yep.
He brought Andrew Bailey in, and Fatsy, the hitting coach, is basically a Cora guy. But then you got the driveline guys that are Breslow guys. So yep. I felt like there was like these conflicting philosophies between the general manager and the manager based on their coaching staff and philosophies. So I just felt like there's kind of this natural kind of dynamic there that would suggest that they might not always be on the same page, Dan.
No, Alex is my best bud. Just believe me.
Thank you, Breslow. I not only agree with that, but I also think it's kind of fascinating. This is something that you highlighted. It's probably been the better part of a month, 6 weeks now, when the rotation started to go longer into games, the bullpen was improving. There was kind of a shift in the way that it looked like the Red Sox were approaching at bats, where they were throwing
more fastballs
in better counts. They were abandoning the pitch backwards stuff and less breaking balls and all that kind of stuff. Around the same time, there was also a change in the pitching or the hitting philosophy, where they changed their meetings to where instead of just get the whole group together and, all right, Sadon, what are you going to do against this guy? Well, I'm going to look for the fastball. So then Jaron could hear and go, oh, I'm going to do what Sadon's going to do.
Yep.
It was individual. They brought a couch into the meeting room or something. So it was just player to player. You had to do your homework. You had to be prepared to discuss this the next day. So I would wonder if there was a bit of a shift behind the scenes, not taking power away from Craig Breslow and the driveline guys, but just, hey, our manager's a World Series champion. He clearly has a better feel for baseball and a knowledge of the game more so than anybody else around him in the entire game. Let's give a little bit more credence to what this guy knows and what he says. And it feels like since that shift happened, everything kind of just meshing a bit better right now, if that makes sense.
You wonder, would Alex know? If Breslow comes to him and says, you know, Alex, we tried, man. We tried to make deals. We just couldn't get it done. Like, Alex doesn't know if he's lying or not, right? Yeah. I mean, he's not on the working the phones.
No, but I feel like
he doesn't know what's, you know, that's not his job to be kind of sniffing around. So, I mean, he could be misled and we would never know it.
Or he might have enough contacts in baseball that he sends a couple texts, maybe. And all of a sudden he's like, that guy is BSing me.
He's also got to be in the room, right? I would hope he has a busy day on Thursday.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would like him involved.
If
even
they have as good of a relationship as you guys are saying that they do, and I'm a little more dubious about that one, but if they do, I'd certainly like him to be a prominent voice in that
room. Unless Breslow agrees with you and thinks there's a concern that Cora is eyeing that job and that operation down the road, I'm not sure I'd want him in the room advising me, thinking that he might be trying to take my job.
Not advising. Just, I'd like to hear your perspective on it. And if he does feel that way, then this whole system is broken, and why are we having this conversation to begin with?
You know what I do feel like that they're both on the same page with? And I feel like I've heard enough in the last few weeks that their first, second and third choice would be to get pitching, starting pitching.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a first baseman.
Yep. Nope.
It's not another right-handed bat.
Nope.
It's pitching. And I feel like they're both kind of on the same page when it comes to that.
Along those lines, let's go to our buddy Joe in Melrose, who has a proposal for Joe Ryan. I am all ears, Joe. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great interview with Cora. And, yeah, no, I definitely think they need to get Joe Ryan. And I was listening to the broadcast last night with the Twins are – apparently really desperate for money. Apparently, like, their revenue is down because of the cable contract. So the Red Sox saved, I guess, approximately $20 million on the Devers contract. They promised on that alignment podcast that they were going to reinvest that money into this team. So I think they should do is offer $20 million and maybe three A-level prospects to the Twins for Joe Ryan.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
Yeah, that's old school.
I'm happy to go. How the Red Sox lost Babe Ruth, right?
Yeah.
Add up those the remaining 7 years they saved.
If it's just money, I'll give her whatever the hell money you want for Joe Ryan. I'd be happy to future cash considerations, and they can be massive cash considerations. I'd also give you Jaron Duran, so you can have the only Duran lineup in baseball.
He's cheap. He's under team control for a couple years. There's a
Tassward, Toley. They're all on the trade block for me. All of them. Joe Ryan.
Is anybody not?
Roman Anthony.
Okay. Crochet.
Bregman. And Crochet. And who else?
Bregman.
Yeah, no. But I was thinking more of the young guys.
Yeah.
Marcelo, not.
I'll be honest, this injury history thing where every year ends with him being injured is starting to be a concern for me. But he does look smooth in the field. I wouldn't want to trade Marcelo Mayer. You know that I would trade Christian Campbell in a heartbeat. But yeah, the password, Toley, these guys that are rising up the ranks, all these guys, I would talk to them because it's win now. And I also
It's supposed to be win now.
And I also asked you weeks ago to come back to me with the long list of prospects they traded that burned their ass. And it's a short list and it's an old list.
Yes, it is.
It goes back to Hanley Ramirez and Jeff Bagwell, right? So history tells you trade for the stud. And often when the Red Sox trade for the stud, they go deep in the playoffs or even win a World Series. So go get Joe Ryan. I'm a simple man with simple requests.
Joe Ryan and?
Well, now I want Griffin Jacks that I saw him pitch last night because he's got elite stuff in that bullpen. If you can get them to throw him in, I'll take it. 617-779-7937. Reacting to Alex Cora's comments about the trade deadline and his baseball team. But up next, we need to get the reactions of Ted Johnson to training camp practice. It was hot. It was sunny. It was sweaty. The pads were on, and Ted Johnson liked a lot of what he saw. Those reactions next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox fell to the Minnesota Twins in walk-off fashion last night. The final score was 5-4. The game was delayed 90 minutes due to weather after the top of the ninth inning, after which the Twins came back from down a run to win the game. Game two of that series is tonight in Minnesota. First pitch at 7:40. Lucas Giolito takes the ball for the Red Sox. And you can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan is tonight at 6:40, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the game. The MLB trade deadline is Thursday at 6 p.m. The latest news from around the league. The Brewers acquired former Red Sox catcher Danny Jansen from the Tampa Bay Rays, and Diamondbacks third baseman and trade candidate Yohenio Suarez was hit on the hand by a 95.6 mile per hour pitch last night and had to leave the game. X-rays on the hand were negative. The Patriots completed their sixth day of training camp earlier today. Subpar day for Drake May. He went 7-14 and 11-11, as well as 3-8 and 7-7. While Meanwhile, Christian Gonzalez did not practice today. He showed up near the end of practice in shorts, a t-shirt, a hat, with a sleeve on his left leg. The Patriots return to the field tomorrow at 10:15 a.m. And from around the NFL, the Colts and left tackle Bernard Raimann agreed to a four-year contract worth $100 million, and the Broncos and wide receiver Cortland Sutton agreed to a four-year, $92 million extension that will run through the 2029 season that includes $41 million in guarantees. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To this.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
How's camp going so far? You're healthy? Looks like you're competing out there. How's things going?
For sure, man. Honestly, the first thing you said is the biggest thing, just being healthy. It's definitely a grind. A little bit warmer these past couple days, but I just feel blessed to be healthy and be out here and be able to compete.
That was Cole Strange.
You didn't put him on his heels with that question. I was just a nice kind of softball.
I told you the way I do the snowball fight. That was the one I throw in the air while you look up at that one. I whiz one right at your face.
Lure him in. Oh, he's a nice guy. Oh, he's on my side.
I'm just glad to
people. And then he gets, oh, so your career is basically over.
No.
Why do you suck?
No, I never said any of that. I think this is a you problem. Oh. You people hear what you want to hear instead of the actual words of the question.
It's we just know you, bud. You know, when we ask a question a certain way, we're like, oh, we know what he's really thinking. That's all. Cole Strange doesn't, or else he would have walked off the field, and we wouldn't have gotten an interview.
All right, I'll push back on that. Once. Your word was crossover. What could you have meant by, or a crossover, crossroads?
What
could
crossroads.
You, crossroads. Of what?
Is that not a fact? Do you not believe this is a crossroads in his career?
In his career?
Yeah.
Like full stop in his career.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I may believe that.
People
but you're staring
when
at
he
the
was
guy
drafted in the first round.
The question.
Yeah. I thought it was a fair question.
Yeah, do you believe this is you're at the crossroads?
I didn't say it like that, did I? I just asked the question.
As you look up at him with your neck crinked.
Had I thought it was a pointed question, I may have asked it differently, but I just thought it was a normal, accurate, third-year Cole Strange.
You've been sucked up to this point, but now you're healthy.
No, he didn't hear that. Only you people heard that. That is you problem.
Sean McVay laughed at the Patriots for drafting you where they did. Did you agree with him? Because I certainly did.
All right. If you want to hear
he did. He laughed at you. I mean, I'm telling you.
It is the fact. Yeah. Are you telling me I'm wrong?
Cole, the truth is never mean. And if you missed our Cole Strange interview, you can go back on the Odyssey app, iHeart app, any of those places. It's on our socials, and you can see how little I look between Ted Johnson and Cole Strange, which I want to thank one of the more heady Twitch chat listeners for pointing out he's standing between two NFL players. Of course he looks little.
Yeah.
These are gladiators of modern times. I'm just an average size man over here.
Yeah, but you look little on NBC Sports Boston, though, too, and those are just all regular people.
You used to look little, but then you drank every night, and now you're fat.
I'm just kidding. Damn. I lash out when I get back to 24.
I'm just trying to get him a deal with Awaken 180. I think Stiz is going to be the next spokesman for Awaken 180.
Oh, I'm in on that. Would you do that?
I could or could not use it.
All right, Ted. So if I asked you, big picture takeaway, we heard your three-point stance. You're excited about the offense and what they're doing. But what were some of the other things that really jumped off the practice field for you today when you were down in Foxborough?
You know, the rookies. The rookies jumped out. I mean, if you, first, second, third, fourth rounders. I thought Drake Mays showed out. I thought there was a couple throws he missed.
Yep.
But I thought he looked pretty doggone good. Kyle Williams looked good. He was making plays. Jared Wilson and Will Campbell were both probably two of the stars of today's practice. I thought Will Campbell, Keon White, and I would say Keon looked, I thought, fantastic today. And that's kind of runs in line with what a lot of people are saying. But
did you see when he picked up the little running back?
One of those plays
where the play ended, and you know how everybody kind of stands up and hugs and nobody gives up? He literally picked up the running back and just started walking back with him. Yeah. I thought it was one of the more disrespectful things.
I think Keon's feeling it. I think he's feeling it. I think he likes the coaching staff. Yeah. I think he just looks locked in. But so
violence. They lured him in when Terrell Williams and then Milton Williams and Vrabel all started talking like violence. I think Keon White was like,
okay. You kind of unlocked
my language. Yeah, we're on the same page. I'll fight for you. We're doing violence around here now. I'm ready to go.
But Barmore and Milton Williams both struggled against Jared Wilson.
Yeah, that's not good.
The third round offensive lineman out of Georgia. So I really liked what I saw from them. I saw plays that I want to see. So what is this offense going to look like? It's going to be different than when Tom Brady was here. Mm. I saw a lot of boots. I saw a lot of rollouts. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of play action. Which I absolutely loved. I saw different elements of the offense. I saw the deep ball. I saw short to intermediate. I liked a lot of just the play action action that I was seeing.
Can I throw one more in there?
Go.
Down in the goal line, late 11-on-11, the first snap was a little speed option right pitch to the pylon. I was like,
how about that?
Josh is learning some things.
So people understand what Andy's saying. So it basically, you know, it's something you might see, like, you know, Lamar Jackson do.
Yeah.
You know, where or even like a my boy there in Philly. Why am I
Jalen Hurts?
Yep. Like, you saw an RPO where you fake to the running back, and then you either run it as the quarterback or you pitch it, like a triple option.
Kind
of either handoff, quarterback run, or you pitch it. He pitched it to Ramondre because he was about to get lit up. That being Drake Mays. Wide open, runs it right into the touchdown, into the goal line. If they can do plays like that, which they never did last year, oh, my goodness. So there's an element to the offense that it's not going to be as conservative as I was maybe anticipating. I saw audibles, which you didn't see that at all last year. I like the way they ran some of the drills. They didn't do just one-on-ones with the DBs and the wide receivers. They did two-on-twos. So it's really – that's really football. It's using one guy to distract you. So you got to be thinking as well as being good in your coverage. And so it tests those guys in a way that I hadn't really seen before. So I just like the drills. I like the whole operation. I like the young guys. And I'll tell you this, when it comes to Drake Mays' best throw, throw it up the right sideline or throw it up the left sideline. That just fade kind of route up the sideline.
Right in the bucket.
It is right in the bucket, and he had a nice little fade to on the 5-yard line to Jawan Baker.
Yep.
They high pointed it, went up, caught it. So I like what I see from the offense, and it's the receivers, and the Patriots defense is a good defense, not a great defense, but this offense is competing with that defense, which I've seen in the past. This time, usually in the last 3 or 4 years, where the offense looks years behind the defense. That's not the case.
Can I wet blanket it now?
Go.
No, the only thing I would say.
That was fun while it lasted.
No, I agree with a lot of what he said. He didn't even mention the screen game the last couple days. We've seen a lot of different screens and things. I think there are the old cliche, like tools in your box to work with, your toolbox there. Yep. I think they have a lot more tools this year. I think Drake Mays has to be like, wow, I'm more competitive. I bring more knives to the knife fight. I bring more guns to the gunfight. The one thing I would just say about the competition is I'm really starting to not like the fact that Carlton Davis is never out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you marry that up with whatever this hamstring is going to be with Christian Gonzalez. Yeah. And I think we could get a false reading on the wide receivers, the passing game, because you got Alex Austin and Bolden and these guys who are supposed to be like
fourth and fifth corners now are like
rotational players at best.
Yeah.
And then you zoom it out a little bit and you look at just the secondary as a whole, and Kyle Duggar had a myriad of issues last year, and as you were talking about, you know, hasn't had the greatest start to camp either.
Right.
So your secondary looking relatively secure, at least your first teamers going into camp, to your point, has been something where the wide receivers can take advantage. But Ted, to your point about the offense, it really does seem like, and again, this is just a 1 week's worth of observations, Josh McDaniels is doing a nice job so far of adapting his offense to what he has in his quarterback, which is a guy that, as we talked about in the 2 o'clock hour, still has his issues making those easy passes in the pocket, just your 5 yard, 10 yard out, but is a guy that has a million and one different tricks up his sleeve, the athleticism that allows you to be creative. So let's get creative with our play calling and try to maximize his strength versus kind of pigeonhole him into something he's not great at yet.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And I think you have Stephon Diggs, the way he was playing today, I go, okay, he looked like he could have 85, 90 catches this year. You have a solid tight end group. I think even 1 through 3 of their tight ends.
Even Bell. Wow.
Bell had a nice tutty today, as they say on the streets.
There and you go.
You know what? You guys, no surprise. Travion Henderson, they're going to watch the toss sweeps and the screens to him. Him getting to the edge is going to be a priority. However you scheme, how do we scheme getting Travion Henderson to the edge? They're going to find a million different ways to do that. And he was, you talk about on some of the toss sweeps, just the outside stuff, zone runs. He's going to be hard to take down. And I thought Ramondre, people have been saying he's lost a lot. He looks good. He looks different than what he has in the past.
Yep.
So I'm kind of expecting a lot from that running back position. So it's like I feel like the running back, tight end, wide receiver group, even though it's not close to the best, it's an upgrade from where it's been.
It's definitely an upgrade. I feel better about that upgrade than I do the offensive line upgrade. I think there is a better chance. And I also think both groups will benefit from low expectations. Like, people think that this is a terrible wide receiver core. So if they go out there and they can just field three guys that are, I don't know, running the right routes, catching the ball when it's thrown to them, I don't know, not bitching about it post-game about the quarterback or whatever. Like, I don't know how much they have to achieve to appease us, to make us relatively happy with what's going on. And then I think the running back group is going to maybe be the best part of the offense. I'm on you with Ramondre Stevenson. He's definitely, I don't know if he's talked about it yet, about what he's done to his body, what weight he's lost, how he's changed his body. He's focused on ball security. He looks smaller and quicker. You mentioned the other day, Ted, even at his bigger size, he had a great jump cut. I think there's going to be a little more hop in his step this year. Travion Henderson could be good. And Gibson is he just gets overlooked. I think he's a guy that can make plays for you.
He's our best running back last year.
Right. Yeah. And now
very useful.
If we can get him to what he should be, like your third best running back behind Stevenson and Travion Henderson, I think you got a pretty good backfield that's going to contribute quite a bit in the ground and through the air.
Just to put it in perspective, and I heard Jones and Keefe talk about this, and it was really, I liked that they highlighted this. And I think just to make our point even more profound, you look at who they started at wide receiver last year for the Bengals. Can you guess the wide receivers?
I can.
Who was starting against the Cincinnati Bengals week one at the wide receiver position last year?
I'm going to say at least two people who aren't here now and one that is.
That's right.
I'm going to say there was a Tyquan Thornton.
Two catches. Yep.
I'm going to say there was a K.J. Osborne.
Three catches for 21 yards.
And I'm going to say DeMario Douglas.
That's correct. Two catches for 12 yards. And then don't forget, Jalen Polk, one catch for 6 yards.
Yeah.
But think about that. Think about that group. That's who they beat the Bengals with last year. And I'm not saying it's a huge upgrade, but let's face it, it's a much more well-rounded wide receiver group this year at this time than last year week one.
Yeah. If whatever you think of Diggs, he's an upgrade over those two other guys. I think Pop Douglas is a better player now. So even the Pop Douglas in that group, because he'll probably start this week, is a better version of Pop Douglas.
And Booty should be as well.
And Booty, if the Kyle Williams people are right, maybe a month from now at the end of August, we're talking about, wow, Kyle Williams had a great, preseason action and showed that he's ready. We'll get up to some of that audio coming up.
I'll tell you what, he's shown a hell of a lot more in this camp than Jalen Polk did at this time last year.
Yes, there is definitely more upside. He's a little bit more uneven. Because there was, I don't know if you saw the drop on the sideline back shoulder throw
that
today.
That was a beautiful throw.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. I would have been so mad. I would have been so mad if I'm Drake May. I'm like, I can't put that ball anymore perfectly.
You know what? That is a throw you can't defend.
No.
You cannot defend that
throw.
The
only way it's incomplete is the way it was incomplete today.
If he just drops it.
Drops the ball. And he did. But, yeah, Kyle Williams upside. This wide receiver core is better. The tight end core is going to be what they are. I'm not sure I go quite as deep as Ted there. I love Hunter Henry. I like Hooper. I'm not as sure on the other guys. I don't know.
Westover and Jaquim Bell are better than you think is my point.
I also don't know if it matters. Like, it if we're talking not. About third tight end, if the first two are healthy, you probably don't yeah. really matter like, there.
I give yeah. much more credence to Gibson as your third running back than whoever your third tight end is going
to
be.
Before we go to break, though, we do need to acknowledge the sad breaking news out of Patriots camp that the fullback, Lumpy, whatever the hell it is, was placed on IR. I was so excited. We had 46 back playing fullback. It was like the days of James Devlin and Super Bowl wins and Sony Michel riding his back. They placed their only fullback on IR. I do wonder if they'll go out and look for another fullback. Josh likes fullbacks.
Yeah.
He had fullbacks here. He had fullbacks in Vegas. I wonder. And tying this whole segment full circle, I've always said I think Cole Strange could be an elite oversized fullback like the Ricard guy from
You're
Baltimore.
Out of your mind.
Just this big beastly pulling guard style fullback. So Cole Strange, don't let them tell you I hate you. I think you could be a Pro Bowl fullback.
Wow. I would really, really, really prefer he's a useful offensive lineman for this group, but I appreciate your optimism.
That's
in
a fair
this
point.
Sense.
If he doesn't play O-line, now they got another big
I need
hole in
five
the
guys that can stand in front of my quarterback before I worry about who my
you
fullback
know, Cole,
is.
I know you're at a crossroads for playing.
All right.
But what if you played fullback?
Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons.
You would have liked that better.
We need to get to this Dan Orlovsky audio, which was one of the most over-the-top things I've heard about any team. And I don't know why he is just so excited about the Patriots and why he's saying something as ridiculous as he did. But
Peter Schrager would have been proud at this.
Peter Schrager would have been blushing at Dan Orlovsky's take on the Patriots. But they do rank very highly among NFL teams regarding their 25-year-old or younger players. Even that, though, I have to question the criteria.
Somehow.
How young and how good are the Patriots? Up next here on WEEI.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Patriots' first three picks. I'm obsessed with them. You know, Will Campbell in the first round, the protection for Drake May on the backside, then Travion Henderson in the second round at running back, and then Kyle Williams. I think Kyle Williams has the chance to be as impactful a rookie receiver that we have in the NFL this year. And if those three rookies can be big-time players for the Patriots, there's a chance this organization and team are going to make noise a lot sooner than people expect.
That was UConn's own Dan Orlovsky.
Wow.
Apparently you can take the boy out of New England, but not the New England out of the boy. Very high on the New England Patriots.
Check is in the mail.
What's wrong with that, you guys?
So my only pushback is he says it like it's this bombastic hot take.
But that's his style, man.
What
that's
team?
Why he's got a job at ESPN.
Oh, maybe. But what team, if they nail the hell out of their first three picks,
wouldn't be good.
Isn't going to be significantly better this year. Especially when one of them's a top five pick. Right. Like, if that guy's really good, so he's a franchise player. Like, I don't even know who Travis Hunter and whoever else the Jags took. If they nail their first three picks, that's going to significantly help them be a better football team. And he just said it in this way that was like, oh, my God, did you hear how much he likes them? So we'll see. I also think.
I mean, I also think he's.
Yeah. Yeah. But, well earned. My goodness.
You know, first three picks, first, second, third rounder, potentially have the potential to be starting.
Sure.
I could see all three of those guys being the starting players at their positions.
And Jalen Polk had the potential to start as a second-round rookie, and now he has the potential to be cut as a second-round, second-year player. Like, life comes at you fast in the NFL, good or bad.
Do you want to get to your issue with the nuance of this piece?
Okay, so ESPN, this was Schatz, right? Did this? Aaron Schatz for ESPN, I believe.
Careful.
Did I just swear on the air?
No, it is. Yeah, sorry. I was scrolling up to just make sure.
As Mader would say, he did what in his pants?
Careful.
You start playing around, you get too comfortable, and all of a sudden we're off the air, Ted.
Moving on.
So the Patriots ranked 7th in their rundown of rosters having players 25 years old or younger.
Yeah.
And so they list blue chip players for the New England Patriots. And tell me if there's a issue here, Ted. I have an issue here.
Okay.
And it's more with the way they set it up than the actual information. But blue chip players, quarterback Drake May, cornerback Christian Gonzalez, offensive tackle Will Campbell.
Huh.
Are there blue chip players under the age of 25?
Yeah.
You have any problem with that?
I do not.
How can you not have a problem with that?
There you go. Go ahead, defend. Are you out of your mind?
I'm looking. What do you mean?
Are you out of your mind?
I feel about Drake May. You know, and we already know what Christian Gonzalez is, and Will Campbell is the 4th overall pick.
But that you just said it perfectly. We already know what Christian Gonzalez is.
Yeah,
he's a blue chip player.
Yeah,
he's an All Pro player. He's elite.
It doesn't. This isn't potential blue chip. It says blue chip already.
It says blue chip players.
Okay, yeah. Drake May's not a blue chip player now.
Nor is Will Campbell.
No,
he might
not.
Be in a month or two months.
Potential to be.
Yeah, and I'd feel disrespected if I'm Christian Gonzalez. Wait, you put me in the same group as a rookie who's never taken a single NFL
All right,
snap.
That's fair. Right.
And it's flawed for every team. Like the blue chippers in Houston include C.J. Stroud. So how can C.J. Stroud and Drake May be in the same category?
They can't.
You know what I mean? Like,
one's proven a lot more than the other.
They need proven blue chippers, potential blue chippers,
Drake May is a potential blue chipper. He is not a blue chipper.
Correct.
Right now.
So the one problem I have with this, because if those guys are blue chippers, you're like Orlovsky says, you've taken a big leap. You've solved left tackle. And I know you still have doubts, right? We're going to observe Will Campbell at left tackle for a long time and see how good he is. But if he's a, let's not even say Pro Bowler, if he's just a top half of the league left tackle, you've solidified your offensive line significantly by putting him over there behind Drake May, right? That's a massive step forward. And if Drake May is in the class of C.J. Stroud, who's been to the playoffs and won a playoff game.
Right.
Or Jaden Daniels, who was listed as a blue chipper for Washington.
Yeah, who's going to take a massive step back this year. Yep.
He probably will as a team.
For
not
sure.
Just him, the
for
team.
Sure.
Don't try to misconstrue what
I said.
Yeah,
100%.
But if Drake May is in that category, then they've absolutely taken a massive step forward. I will say, just the fact that you're hopeful of those guys gives you a big jump up from where you've been, right? Like, you're adding, it's almost like the baseball teams restocking their farm system. Having all these guys coming up through the ranks, even though they're not proven yet, gives you hope and gives you that opportunity to be the Astros, or like a future World Series team you're targeting down the road. And to rank 7th, I believe they were 20th last year, 20-something?
They were 25th last year.
So to go from 25th to 7th is the best thing they've done.
Right.
They didn't do that at wide receiver. We've talked about this. You got better at wide receiver. You got better at O-line. You got better. They went from 25th to 7th when you're ranking their blue chip under 25 players.
Isn't that crazy? To go from knowing you're probably going to suck and also not really having a future outside of your quarterback to at least knowing you're going to be, but at least you have a future that seems to be somewhat bright. That's a leaps and bounds improvement in and of itself.
And if you wanted to, you could go deeper depending on your optimism. So the optimism we played of Dan Orlovsky. He might want to include Kyle Williams and Travion Henderson on this list
yes.
as potential blue chippers, correct?
Correct.
And I'm assuming they're both under 25. I haven't checked their...
I would assume so, yes.
They're rookies that just got drafted, so...
Right.
COVID era is over. I don't think they've been to seven schools or any of that.
I mean, your whole second string right now, just looking at their depth chart, is littered with guys who are not even potential blue chippers, but just youth that you're that you're interested in. I mean, you got on the defensive end, Josh Farmer, Braden Swinson, Craig Woodson, Kobe Minor, all coming from your draft class. Yep. Your offensive line, you have two guys now that you're talking about outside of Campbell in Wilson and Bryant that are getting significant reps with your first teamers right now. So again, at least there are guys that are young, that are taking those steps, that are pushing for reps, and that's something that you can be happy with.
Somebody texted me just real quick on the Jared Wilson thing. Somebody texted me that they love, capital letters, love Jared Wilson's athleticism, that they are inside the building big fans of where he is going to go athletically as an interior.
Because he kind of fell from where he was projected. Yeah. I remember him sitting up there for a while in the third round, and the Patriots were able to make a couple moves and get him. So there's certainly potential there. Starter his senior year as a center at Georgia. That's a good program that you're blocking in front of a quarterback for. So yeah, there's something there for sure.
I mean, this draft class has guys that feel like they're going to contribute, which there's been draft classes in the last several years where do they even get on the field?
Correct.
So I think that's what people are getting excited about. It feels like the Patriots, not only did they get, they got guys where they needed a left tackle. They needed to improve their wide receiver. They didn't maybe need a running back, but that was kind of a luxury pick. It was kind of a nice luxury pick
to
get bring in a Travion Henderson, because he's a guy that can, basically take a screen to the house. And so I think that's partly why people are excited, is that it feels like these rookies will not only contribute a little bit, but actually be potentially significant starters for this team.
And they've needed one of those. I know you and I have talked about this going back to when we were talking about pre-draft days, comparing it to some of the draft classes of the Parcellian early.
Yeah.
They've needed one of those wow drafts that lays the foundation for like an era of football, the next 3, 5, 10 years, where you don't just nail one player, or you get 3 or 4 starters and 3 or 4 backups, and you read the list and you go, oh, my God, every one of those players plays.
The Patriots draft 93, 94, 95, 96. Those, boom, 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 set up that 2000
It run. Set up basically two Super Bowl runs, one a losing effort, and then a dynasty that was built after that. And I'm not saying this is going to be that. That's an unfair pressure or expectation. Sure. I'm not saying you get Curtis Martin in the middle of the draft or any of those things. But they do need drafts that the first rounder is a Pro Bowler, the second rounder is a starter, the third rounder is one of your best rotational players, the fourth rounder plays all of those things. And if these guys are right, the Dan Orlovsky's of the world and the Aaron Schatz's of the world, this could be one of those drafts. But I think it all hinges on your guy, Will Campbell. That's the interesting part of this. Because if Will Campbell is a disappointment, and that devalues the whole rest of the draft. Now you're trying to play makeup for missing on the 4th overall pick. But there's plenty of youth, plenty of excitement, plenty of optimism here on WEEI Afternoons. Even if you sometimes think I don't have the optimism, I still have it, and I'm hopeful for this team.
I look forward to meeting it someday.
Oh, coming up, it's 5 o'clock. It is time for The Drive. We spoke with Alex Cora. That's available on the Odyssey app, and we'll also hear from Alex Cora in The Drive here up next on WEEI Afternoons.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.